Yeah. Of course I found Mexican food. Of course.
You going back down to San Diego State this weekend? What frat house are you going to?
Got invited to, not just invited, yeah, specifically asked to attend a fraternity event on Saturday night, but the adult part of my brain kicked in. For half a second, I'm like, I should go over there and do a few laps around there, do a few, you know, shotguns, teach these whippersnappers what it's all about. But then I envisioned Frank the Tank. I'm like, I don't need that.
No, it's Frank the Tank. That's amazing. You're going streaking. You're stopping at KFC at, what, 2 a.m. in the morning, something like that?
Trav coming over to the house tonight? Because it would be lit if he showed up. That was the exact text.
I really
that
liked
my daughter
they said
got.
Lit. Yeah. It's even better. But speaking of parties.
I want to be Vince Vaughn and just have like a speaker shop that I'm trying to.
But speaking of parties that might or may not be lit, which likely won't be, but it'll be fun. So my friends and I, so the Oscars is next Sunday. So my friends and I are going to host another.
Oh, we know.
I'm sure you're well aware because you're now prestige TV guy. You're going to turn into prestige movie guy. And me and you can have these conversations. But we're going to host a party. And so we're thinking about what we want to serve. And my roommates really want to do a lot of puns. So I just want to run some of these puns by you because I think that they're pretty funny.
There's no corn dogs from Disneyland. I don't want a part of this.
Keg stands?
No keg stands. We will not have a keg, but maybe we'll do, I don't know, something else. Maybe do beer chucking at some point if you lose. So first one, for Top Gun Maverick, we have Top Gun Macvrick and cheese. So we got mac and cheese, but it's Macvrick and cheese, right? But I'm
Yeah, I hope you can do
that. Okay, well, let me just say this.
If that's your opening offer, wait. I'm worried.
You kind of tell the whole joke, and then you didn't give it a second to breathe. Like, no. I think you should just give it a second, and you're like, that's my joke. No, all right, go ahead.
All right, next one. The movie is called Women Talking. The app is called Women Talkies. So we're going to have talkies, and then this is going to be labeled as Women Talkies.
Oh, the little chip.
Yes.
Talkies,
yeah. So the next
tacos?
One, we could do Women Tacos as well, but I don't know. Maybe there's a connotation there we don't want to address. So then there's Triangle of Sadness, but we're going to have Triangles of Sadness, which are just Doritos, and we're just going to call them Triangles of Sadness. So there's that. There's the Fablemans, but we're going to have Spielburgers.
That's,
we're gonna have
okay.
sliders.
You're one sounds good. Keep going. You've got one on the board.
All right, we got All Quiet on the Western Front is the movie. The app is Buffalo Quiet on the Western Front, which is buffalo dip. I know exactly. That wasn't my one. That wasn't my pun. Okay, we got Elvis. L pigs in a blanket. So like Elvis, L pigs.
Well, if you're gonna do an Elvis thing, you got to do like the Fluffernutter fried sandwiches.
But we wanted puns. We didn't want actually relating to the movie. We just wanted puns.
But these aren't puns.
Bro, but you're not invited.
To jam words into the middle of this.
Avatar: The Way of Water.
That's so true.
We're just gonna have water available.
Sure. Yep.
Makes sense.
Emily, you're a bright woman.
That's my favorite one so far.
Really
the water.
Step your game up.
They're gonna have water there. I love that
one. Okay. Next one's gonna be the movie's called Tar. We're gonna have instead of bruschetta, it's gonna be bruschetta tar. Okay. So
are you
that.
Punking us right now?
Nope, we're not punking. I'll show you the thing. And then Everything Everywhere All at Once. We're gonna have. Just an everything bagel because it's also that's actually from the movie, but we're having everything bagels available. So those are the
6 weeks of prep.
The 10. So if anybody has any better suggestions for pun related food, but I think my favorite is the Women Talkies. But
I'm not trying to put him on the spot right now, but you know who's terrific at puns and stuff like this? Like he does a great job with our show.
Yeah,
he's on TNT all the time with his tweets. Is Francis and Glendale?
Yeah, Francis, call
he,
in.
He
give
is
me some.
Tremendous at puns. So Emily, you should
Francis
DM him
before,
and ask him for some help.
Yeah, before you even said his name, he was already like he closed the door behind him and he was already like sitting. I could see him just thinking.
Every time I turn on TNT, he's got one.
Yeah,
on
I know
there.
He does.
Top Gun, Mac, Rick and Cheese.
No, Emily.
Yeah,
stop.
That's
yeah, please. I hold you in high regard, and that does not top,
TNT
top
is
Maverick and Cheese or whatever it is.
Maverick and Cheese. Maverick come on,
and
Travis.
Cheese. Yeah, I don't know. I don't
I like
know,
the actually. Avatar one.
Water.
Yeah.
Just water. The Way of Water.
It was good. Oh, that one was pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Simplify it.
I don't know. I asked you. I walked in during the break. There were some Suns highlights on the TV. I don't know. You know, sometimes just something you see something. And you're like, oh, yeah, no, that's it. Like, you talk yourself in all these conversations. Is it this? Is it that? What's the best team? Who's the best player? What's got the best chance? And, well, I could talk myself into this, that, or the next thing. The Suns are going to win the West, right? Like, we can sit here and talk about, oh, the Clippers get hot and the Lakers get healthy and the
Warriors.
And, the Suns are, as long as Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Chris Paul and Ayton are able-bodied, they're going to win the West, right?
So here's what's funny. Before KD even played a game for the Suns, every time in the pregame show, doesn't matter who it is. It could be Dave McMenamin. I could ask Michael. I could ask Brad Turner of the LA Times. Every time I get the question, all right, hey, pick one team out of the Western Conference, everyone is like, you start with the Suns, mm-hmm. and then you start kind of trying to convince yourself if another team can beat them. I guess it would be a surprise if let's put it this way. If it's not the Phoenix Suns representing the West, I'm going to give Denver a little bit of credit, okay? I know nobody's – you got to see it from them first, but – those two teams, that would be my top two. Just like in the Eastern Conference, you say, all right, hey, it's Boston and Milwaukee. Those are the top two. But the West is so – Clippers, okay, maybe –
yeah, but I think it's the same in the West too, Al, that Denver and Phoenix are a lot better than everybody else.
But so I say that if Denver had to play the Warriors in the first round, Warriors would say –
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if the Warriors and – excuse me. The Nuggets and the Suns start the Western Conference Finals 7-game series. Is anybody picking the Nuggets? It feels like it's just not that they can't win.
Yeah.
That's different. But if you had to bet
for every four picks you have, three of them are going to go to
the
Phoenix.
If you had to bet something that really matters to you and you got to try to pick the winner,
yeah, you're probably
leaning
towards
the Suns.
Phoenix.
It's just Kevin Durant's just going out there and doing 30s like he's just floating through it.
So that game yesterday was on before the Laker game, right? So they had the Nuggets and the Suns on. Yeah, there is this. Chris Paul is bringing the ball up the floor, and I'm like, so Chris Paul has Devin Booker on one side. He's got KD on the other side. He's got Ayton in front of him. Is that not the perfect situation for Chris Paul, that he's basically the fourth best player on that team? Yeah, it's pretty good.
And they've got a coach with experience. Mm-hmm. Most of the players on that team have been through the fire multiple times. Mm-hmm. There's not going to be a lot of big wide eyes on what this is all about. Because when the trade went down, Durant was hurt and wasn't able to play. I don't know if we had that, okay, here we go. You had to wait a week or so and then the All-Star break. Like, you just didn't – he's just now starting to play with them.
You know, it's funny,
but
before even
else.
Seeing everything and before I think people were already saying, yep, the West is going to go through the Suns.
Yeah.
So just now it's only adding to that when you actually see him play.
So SC starts spring football practice today. There's, what to watch for and this player and that player and a couple of things. Just, we can get into some players if we want to, specifically Caleb Williams. But the vibe surrounding this SC football season relative to a year ago when they kicked off the football season with Lincoln Riley, new in town, got all the money and the houses and the jets and all the things that come along with. It's like, okay, this is cool. They got rid of the stalest, this program was just kind of rotting from the inside out.
Yeah.
They weren't good. They weren't exciting. Coliseum was mostly empty. It just wasn't good to instantly there's buzz. And let's see what it's going to look like, right? And they went out and they were really, really good. And they got very close to going to the Final Four. They win one game against Utah at the end there. They probably go. Caleb Williams doesn't pull a hamstring. They probably go. Now that's football. It happens. But now it's we have the first back-to-back Heisman Trophy winner since Archie Griffin in the 70s. It's been 50 years. Have they fixed the defense enough to be in that top four? And if they haven't, whose head rolls? That happened in a year, Al. That's not – it's supposed to take – I understand with the portal and everything else, it can happen fast. But from, hey, I don't know what this is going to be to, you better fix that defense and go to the Final Four and win two Heisman Trophies in a row in a year? My God, that's fast.
Well, and this is a compliment – however you ended up looking at the USC season last year, because I think people can make an argument, hey, you were X amount of weeks in, and you thought at the worst you're going to go to at least the Rose Bowl, right? And that didn't happen, and you lost your bowl game. That's just kind of the circumstances
of
what happened.
Can I stop you right there?
Yeah.
Because I'm glad you brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you put a lot of stock in that collapse against Tulane? Because it was terrible. They blew a big lead late in the game and lost to a team they had no business losing to.
I don't put a lot of stock in it, but that's also supposed to be a game where we shouldn't have a negative conversation when that game is over. So I think that if they won the game, you don't put a lot of stock in it. Because they lost the game the way they did, you walk away saying, why'd you lose that game that way? Mm-hmm. No, you're not supposed to lose that game that way. They created...
And they lost the game the way that they lost all of their games. They couldn't stop anybody.
And it reminded you also of Lincoln Riley when he was in Oklahoma or whatever the case is. They created something in their first year that, let's just say hypothetically, they lost 4 games last year before the bowl game.
Okay.
And that they weren't in this, hey, you're a game away from winning the Pac-12. You're a game away from potentially going to the Rose Bowl. Let's say they added a couple more losses on there. I still think you could have walked in and said, okay, hey, this is part of the progress. It takes a second. You can't just overnight change around a college football program. And I think they created a, hey, they're ready to start winning right now. So it's probably not fair, but at the same time, that's what the expectations are going to be for USC. It's Lincoln Riley's words when he was doing his presser, right? Yeah. When he was first coming out. This whole thing is going to change. You look behind me. Remember, you're at the Coliseum, and it's the Coliseum behind you. He's like, it ain't going to be the same of what it's been.
Right.
He wasn't lying, and he did meet those goals and those standards. But now it's, can you play with the big boys? Can you get stops on defense? Can you make sure that you take care of the Pac-12? The expectations this year will be different. A
couple of things. Number one, I love that he leans into what you're talking about. This wasn't the landscape of the sport is changing. It's going to take some time. We're fixing this and we're going to do it fast. And they did. And now coming into this season, his message isn't, hey, listen, we still got a long way to go. This was, we're just getting started. Like, he's leaning into the, we're USC and we're back and the rest of you guys better get ready because we're coming to kick your ass. I like that. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen, but I like him leaning into it. They're using the portal as well as anybody else. In the article that I was reading, the linebacker from Oklahoma State, running back from South Carolina, a couple of kids from Florida, another offensive lineman from what they're doing what modern college football is go get good players off of other teams. Don't try to get a 17-year-old high school kid that might be good in 3 years. I'm just going to get a guy that's good right now. That's part of it. The other part of it is they've got a problem that has already started to bubble up that no one has really offered a solution to, other than maybe get a player here or there. They don't play defense. He's never played defense. And you look at their schedule, they through the first month of the season, right, till they get to the end of September, they don't really have a game that you would expect them to
lose. Year was the easy schedule, right? Last season was?
Yeah. Last year, they didn't play Washington. They didn't play Oregon. They
had home games that against some of the big matchups.
Yes. Yep. They open the season, San Jose State, Nevada, Stanford, ASU, Colorado. They should not lose any of those games. I know that Coach Prime is going to have the Buffs better. They shouldn't beat USC in the first year. That should not happen. After that, it gets let me throw one more game in there. Arizona stinks too. After that, Notre Dame, Utah, two tough games, right? At Notre Dame, home against Utah. Cal on the road, Cal stinks, whatever. And then you finish Washington, Oregon, UCLA. That's a real schedule. Oregon's going to score points. Utah's going to score points. Notre Dame's going to score points.
Where are those?
UCLA is going to score points.
The last three games, where are they?
Two at home, one on the road. Oregon on the road, Washington, UCLA at home.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a real schedule.
That is.
You get Utah kind of, in the middle of it, middle of late October. This is a far different animal than last year, which is, if you win most of these, it's pretty good. This is huge expectations. Yep. Still haven't really fixed the defense. Mm-hmm. And we even talked about Caleb Williams having the pressure of, hey, you won the Heisman pretty easily. I don't want to say easily. It's never easy. Convincingly, better word. There was no, oh, man, it should have gone. It's Caleb Williams who should have won it. Mm-hmm. Nobody's won back-to-back since the 70s. It's 50 years ago.
Well, unfortunately for him, it's, okay, let's say he goes out and has one of those seasons again. Do you want, and I'm not saying both of these can't happen, but do you want Caleb Williams to be that player that you're talking about and he's, again, a shoo-in to go win a Heisman? Or do you want, can we just have a freaking defense that I don't have to put up 45 points a game? Right?
How about both?
That's what I'm saying. It's not that you can't say both can't happen, but I think a lot of the times, Caleb Williams was great last year, but part of the reason why he was so great is he didn't have a choice. That in a lot of these games, he needed to put up 40 a game because the defense was giving up 38. So I don't know how much that's going to change, and I don't know how much that conversation is going to change by the time this year is done. But damn, if it's the same conversation we're having, Caleb Williams is amazing. The offense is great. Yeah, but they give up 30-plus points a game.
Imagine, what if they lose to Utah again 42-40? Lose to Notre Dame 42-38? It's okay, really? We're going to get this fixed at one point or another? Caleb Williams is going to win two Heisman trophies in a row. Calling my shot right now. It's only once every 50 years, like clockwork. Happens all the time. A little bit more information about the Ja Morant story. Ramona's just dropping some new details on that. Plus, Dodgers and Padres are on the field right now, Slee, and I could get used to this. It's coming up. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The woman at the window, the drive-through, when I picked up that burrito, she's like, what kind of salsa do you want with that? I said, well, what are my options? And she said, well, we got verde and we got two different types of red salsa. I said, let's have a little bit of all of them. Put two of each in the bag, Al.
Done.
Six different little salsas. It was great.
One Remember of last was... week when I had a Chipotle burrito right before the...
Yeah, this was not
almost
that.
Fell asleep.
Put it this way. I was watching volleyball afterwards, and I had a gut full of breakfast burrito. I wasn't getting ready to do burpees on the side of the court, but it was great. One of the salsas, I think, would strip the paint off my car. Mm. It was so hot. Like, I'm experienced enough to know that when you go to one of those authentic kind of taco shop places.
Kind of the darker, that red salsa.
I'm gonna, I'm not good at that as far as telling just by the color. Like, I'm going to dip my pinky in it and just kind of take a little taste. Salsa verde, perfect. This is the first red one, not bad. The third one was like, no, hell no. Not in a million years. It would have killed me.
I'm okay with that. I can go. What I can't have it do is take over everything. And if it takes over everything,
that's
then you're
what
done.
It was. It was like your tongue.
Because then you can't
melting.
Taste anything.
No,
then it's like, all right.
Like eating a spark plug. It's pretty aggressive. All right, a little more news on the Ja Morant situation.
Yep.
Of course, he did not play yesterday against the Clippers, who got their first win in six tries with Russell Westbrook. Came from 15 behind in the fourth quarter. Is that right?
Yeah, down 15. They gave up 51 in the third to no Ja Morant and no Dylan Brooks.
Morant will not play against the Lakers tomorrow night. And Memphis is basically saying he was not going to play in a couple of games, but there's no hard and fast timetable for when he's going to come back.
Yeah.
Ramona Shelburne, who, of course, will be here with Mason and Ireland coming up in a little bit, tweeted the following. Police in Colorado said Monday that they're investigating Ja Morant's actions after the Grizzly star posted an Instagram live video in which he displayed what appeared to be a gun while at a nightclub. The Glendale Police Department said it's investigating whether Morant may have broken any gun laws. Colorado is an open carry state, although there are exceptions to the law. It is illegal in Colorado to possess a firearm while under the influence of alcohol. NBA rules prohibit a player from possessing a firearm while on team premises or traveling on team business. In the video live streamed by Morant, it is not clear whether he is intoxicated, but others are shown drinking in the video. All right. So those are the new deets. This is just bad news for the league. It's bad news for Ja Morant. It's bad news for the Grizzlies. It doesn't mean it's the end of the world. This, nothing really happened, thank goodness. But this isn't just one video of Ja Morant doing something good. Wait, is that a gun? This is on the heels of him being accused of beating up a 17-year-old after a pickup game.
Yep.
This is on the heels of someone in his group pointing a weapon at the Indiana Pacers team bus, a laser-sighted weapon. This is just a series of stuff that makes you go, hey, what the heck's going on over there? To the point where the league slash the team came in and said, we're going to sit him down for a minute and see if we need to get him some help.
So no player is bigger than the league, period. You might say, listen, LeBron maybe, right? Like there's
close.
there's some players close. That are, you can't quantify how big they are. Ja Morant, good player. Ja Morant, exciting player, fun player. Yet you can't have a black eye to the league. He's not that player. He's an unbelievable player. But whatever this is that's going on with Ja Morant, the NBA does not want to be anywhere associated. By the way, if you're Ja Morant, you don't want to be associated with any of this stuff.
Yeah.
So I do think they'll take action. And what that means, initially it was this is a two-game, he'll be out for two games at least. I don't think it's going to be two games. I don't think it's going to be 2 months. But I think there's a very good chance. What are we, in March right now? Maybe another week goes by.
Think it could be that long?
A week is, you could say, 3 to 4 games total.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a crazy number. Probably something like that. And then Ja Morant's going to have to get in front of reporters and talk about the situation, talk about what he's doing off the floor and everything else to try to make sure this stuff doesn't happen again. But everything that Ja Morant has been involved in over these, you can call it 30 days or whatever the case is, all stuff that, you know, it's incredibly disappointing. I'm a fan. I really am. I'm a fan.
I think
most people
that's
are.
An NBA fan is a fan
I'm
of
a fan.
This game.
I'd hate to have, when you think of Ja Morant, you got to think of stuff like this off the floor. I just want to think of Ja Morant as, hey, here's somebody that is incredibly young, taking a franchise like the Memphis Grizzlies, putting them on the map, and hopefully that goes back to that conversation a month from now.
Well, that's the part that he's in that kind of that purgatory, right? He's in between being the guy that you think of right away when you think of great players and being the guy that you think of with stuff, right? When you think of Steph Curry, you don't think of stuff. You think of him knocking down 40-footers and winning championships. You
Family
think of LeBron
man.
James,
this, yep.
You think of all the basketball things and mm-hmm. business things that come along with LeBron yep. James. Giannis, the same way. He's kind of a goofy, likable, stayed in his hometown, and all of these sorts of things. With Morant, it's gone from, dude, how's a guy that size doing what he's doing, just killing guys in the league, to what's up with Ja Morant?
Yeah.
And that's not it's where the league wants it to be.
Mm-hmm.
The league is okay with him being not Steph Curry. Right, not everybody can be Steph Curry. Not everybody can be the guy selling Subway and doing all these things. But, you know, Morant just got a deal with Powerade. He's going to get a Nike signature. He's getting big brands, but you're running around with guns and, mm-hmm. and having assault allegations against you. We don't need that. And I think it's really it's informing that it's not just that he's down for a couple of games. The language that's being used to describe what's going on is, we're going to get him some help. We're going to see what's going on. This isn't just, we're going to, you know, smack him upside the head and say, dude, come on, man, wake up. It's a little different than that. It's a little more, hey, is everything okay? And I think that's good. I think that we're a little more sensitive to maybe somebody going through some stuff is better than, dude, stop doing that. That doesn't really work. It's, why are you doing that? What can we do to try to prevent that from happening in the future? But he's put himself in a really weird spot where the first thing you think of with him now is not necessarily basketball. It's the stuff that isn't basketball.
And I don't, you know, we were talking about, hey, how long do you think Ja Morant would be out for a month, just hypothetically speaking? And I think both you and I think that, no, I don't think that's going to happen. Here's the one kind of caveat to this entire thing. It might not be up to the Memphis Grizzlies, right? When you start looking at just reading the tweet from Ramona, there are obviously state laws, there are NBA laws that could kind of come into play here. This might not be a, listen, if it's up to the Memphis Grizzlies, hey, take a week off, figure it out, come back, let's play some basketball. We got potentially a playoff run coming in front of us. The question's going to be, did he break laws either in the state, or did he break some type of NBA law that could come into the mix?
The jurisdiction of governments is one thing. He can't make that go away if they decide they want to make something happen. The jurisdiction of the NBA, because the NBA kind of punted on this. They punted it back to the Grizzlies to begin. The Grizzlies are the ones administering this suspension. He's got the game against the Lakers tomorrow. Then mm-hmm. he's home for Golden State and Dallas. They got three games this week. Okay. The Laker game would be game number two. I'd be shocked if he's not back by Dallas on Saturday. They play Dallas again on Monday as well. They have back-to-backs with Dallas Saturday, Monday. Worst case, second Dallas game, I think he's probably there for, because look, the NBA does not want their guy
no,
gone
of course they don't.
For a long period of time for stuff like this. It'll be one of those, you know, I've seen the mistake. I can already tell you what the statement might be, whether anybody means it or not.
Yeah.
I guess time will tell.
Well, and I was going to say, no matter what they say from this point moving forward, for Ja Morant, it's up to him to start changing that vision that people are starting to have on him.
All right, Dodgers and Padres on the field right now, second inning. But something going on with the Dodgers that I don't think has been true for 10 years. It's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Apparently the secret is out, Al, on Miguel Vargas in spring training, at least to this point. Miguel Vargas is not allowed to swing the bat. He's got a little teeny tiny fracture in his hand, and doctors suggested don't swing the bat. But he can play baseball, like he's playing the infield for the Dodgers. There's a big piece on it this morning that he's still drawing a bunch of walks, and pitchers are like throwing him off speed stuff and all this. The Padres obviously said, all right, enough of this. They just grooved three fastballs down the middle to end the inning.
That's fascinating. We were just talking about the break. Have you ever seen anything like that?
Never.
Where somebody's taken at bats,
never.
But everybody knows that he's not allowed to swing.
The only other thing I've seen is like where there's a game where like Kenley Jansen comes up to bat in the eighth inning because the lineup is what it is and they can't double switch him. And everybody knows like he's just going to stand there. You just have to throw the ball over the middle of the plate, but never with a
position that kind of circumstance.
Like that. Dodger lineup today, Slee. You ready for this?
Sure.
Let me see. Where did I put this? I lost it already. Here's the top five guys they ran out there. Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Max Muncy, J.D. Martinez. Those are the four guys that they have right out of the chute.
Mm-hmm.
Still pretty darn good, right? Those are four. And I said Will Smith. So they've got five guys at the top of their lineup that are as good as pretty much anybody else is going to put out at the top of theirs. Where I think it's interesting and where I think Gavin Lux's injury really kind of puts you on the precipice of this, Andrew Friedman was talking about this, they're one more piece of bad luck from having a real problem depth-wise. They're right now, what was their greatest advantage was Bellinger played multiple positions, Lux played multiple positions, Muncy, Taylor, all these, Mookie, really. All these guys can move over and play all these different positions. You're kind of down to one guy in every spot now, which is more typical, but the big advantage they had is gone. And for the first time in 10 years, this feels like a team that is maybe not today, but potentially vulnerable. One more thing to one of those guys. And even, like, let's just say it's Chris Taylor. Now what? Now you're, you have to make a move. You have to go into the minor leagues. They're thin for the first time in 10 years.
So one of Andrew Friedman's quotes, this was on, you're speaking to reporters on Friday, said, "We're definitely susceptible if we have another injury." So that just goes off what you said. But he had the solution as well. He said, "So we've decided we just won't have another injury for the rest of the year."
Good plan.
They're good to go. They're good to go. Now, listen, I think it makes the Dodgers have just been kind of, okay, chalk it up. This is what the Dodgers are going to do this upcoming year. That's what they've done for 10 years. And now all of a sudden there are question marks around the Dodgers. We're not accustomed to having question marks around the Los Angeles Dodgers. Doesn't mean they're not good.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just said, go look at those first five. We were talking about their starting rotation last week, and I said, I don't know, I feel like there's some holes. You're like, well, you can't go find a rotation where there aren't some holes, but you take your chances with the five that they're going to put out there. I think this is just so different for Dodger fans and a Dodger conversation we're not accustomed to. That's what makes this an interesting topic. It makes it an interesting topic because usually you're saying, all right, well, how much are the Dodgers going to win the NL West by?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not a guarantee, but if things just kind of go as planned, the Dodgers are going to win the NL West. And the fact that that's not the lead conversation is interesting. The fact that maybe some of this also has to do with, let's say hypothetically the Padres were just the regular old Padres from 5 years ago and they didn't go out and get all those players. Then you could still kind of sit here and say to yourself, all right, well, there really isn't anybody else within the division that you're worried about. You know, Friedman was asked about the Padres. A lot of people are talking about the Padres right now. So maybe it's a combination of the two, that the depth that you're accustomed to with the Dodgers, plus there's another team within the division that you're saying before the season starts, wow, that's a really good team as well. That's kind of changing a little bit of the narrative.
Let me throw this scenario at you. And because I've been saying it, that I really have a hard time envisioning a season where the Dodgers are not in the playoffs. Not necessarily win the division, but not in the playoffs. Let's just say that Clayton Kershaw has his normal amount of injuries, but maybe just slightly more.
Okay.
Let's say that Dustin May is still not back to form after a significant injury.
Okay.
Let's say that Noah Syndergaard doesn't have that Dodger bounce like a lot of other guys had. Not out of the realm of
Gonsolin
possibility.
Gonsolin doesn't have the same year that he had a year ago.
All of these things are, and we've even had half of these things, and now throw in, let's say you lose Will Smith for a few weeks, a month, with an injury. Let's say that the back end of the bullpen, which you don't have an answer for, becomes a real problem.
The regular grind of a 162-game season. Yep.
There is a scenario that exists where they're kind of scuffling all of a sudden. They're not going to be bad. They got too many good players. They're not going to be bad, but they might not be particularly good. Now, the good news is, listening to Friedman after he was done doing his material, was that guy knows what to do. He's not going to make a bad deal right now. The Dodgers right now are one bad break away from being really, really in trouble. But it's March 6th. By May 6th, it'll be different. By July 6th, it'll damn sure be different. And by September and October 6th, I think you're going to be looking at a pretty different team. This is what he does. He waits. He waits. He looks and sees what he has in his system. He looks and sees what he has at the big league level. He finds distressed assets in other places, and he brings them in. Right now, this team is good, not great. I think by the time we get to it, they're going to be pretty damn good all over again.
Yeah, he had said something, you know, once Gavin Lux went down. The ambulance chasers. He's calling all these other teams out there. He's talking about how a lot of them would call in and be like, hey, you know,
right. I got a guy.
Lux is out. how can we help?
How can we help? Sure.
I think it was actually pretty funny the way he described it. You're not wrong with everything you just said, and I think that comes from somebody who's got an incredible amount of confidence in a group, in a front office that has done it before. So maybe that's part of this as well. I would say it's a little surprising to me that they didn't do really anything in the offseason.
No, not really. And
maybe that means, okay, well, as the season progresses, they're going to handle whatever they need to handle. But it's a new challenge. It's just a completely different twist to a Dodgers team that we're not accustomed to. You know what we're accustomed to the Dodgers is addressing whatever they need, whatever needs that they had before the season started.
How do you turn something great greater? Now it's how do you turn something good back into great? The Dodgers are teeing off on your Padres right now. I wish this mattered and wasn't a spring training game, but it is what it is. Do you think that Andrew Friedman gets the Jerry West treatment when he calls to say, hey, I was thinking about making a deal? If Jerry West is on the other end of that phone, you know you're going to get taken to school. You know Jerry West is going to get the better end of that deal because he always did. That if Jerry West made a deal, he was getting the players that you should have held on to, right? Just year after year after year. Friedman's kind of gotten into that spot where, hey, you know what? I'll take Tyler Anderson. Just, you know, bring him in here. You know what? Yeah, I'll take that guy. We'll see what happens. And then Chris Taylor, he's kind of a four-year guy. Max, yeah, I'll take Max. Mine's like, all-star game, all-star game, all-star game. Does that catch up? Because if I were the GM of the Kansas City Royals, just sure. picking a team. Hey, I was thinking, you know that shortstop you never use? I'd kind of like to have him. I'd be like, okay, you can't have him. No, you can't have him.
You know the problem. You know, problem with that is that they're so. If they had a really poor farm system, hypothetically speaking,
the
right?
Dodgers,
and it's like, all right, well, they only have one path of getting there. Maybe they're. Look at all the shortstops that were overpaid in the offseason, and the Dodgers weren't one of those teams who needed a shortstop. That kind of threw you off for a little bit. Like, well, why would he do that? Maybe because he doesn't want to spend $200 million there. He wants to spend $200 million in other places and go kind of fill in other holes. But I don't think you're wrong there. Any move that he says, hey, talking to another team, I know you're not using that specific player. What do you think if we do this? It's a lot different of a conversation than if the Oakland A's GM or president called.
If the Angels call and say, you want my backup shorts? Yeah, maybe. What do you got for me? The Dodgers, yep. No. Lose my number. I don't want to do a deal with you. We are.
Block his number.
You and I are
yeah.
going to get our first team Thick Van Exel practice in yeah. on Thursday for our pickleball team.
What do we do with Yates? What's the situation there? What do we do?
With the what?
With Yates.
Nothing. He's like, no. It's not complicated. You're too nice. We have four. He was the fifth. You don't need five to play pickleball, right? I don't need that.
Unbelievable.
I mean, I like Clinton. I like hanging out with Clinton. I like doing shows with Clinton. But we got four guys. Look, if Ron ditches us, we'll call Clinton.
Yeah, we're staying with the four. I mean, that's not changing. It's just you can't have five. What are you going to do with five?
Well, the odds of my knee exploding during the practice is possible. So maybe we should
get him. Don't move.
Get him over here. Don't worry about that.
I got that covered.
Don't worry about that. We're getting, of course, ready for the inaugural Pickleball Madness Tournament, Saturday, March 18th, 12 days from right now, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Mile Square Park in Fountain Valley, the Agape Pickleball Center. You, too, can come on out and check this out. Reserve seating is available. You can register at ESPNLA.com. It is open to anybody who would like to come. Come on out, press the flesh, have a beer, talk it up. We'll have talk Laker basketball. We'll talk about the Dodgers. I love talking about the Dodgers. Thanks to Michelob Ultra, Bud Light Seltzer, and Pizza Hut. There'll be TVs out there to watch all the college basketball games, pop a shot, pickleball demos, and lessons. You're thinking, I don't have anybody to watch the kids. Don't worry about it. Bring them out. There's a kid zone. There's a beer garden. There's complimentary food and drink, DJ, entertainment, anything you want is going to be out there March 18th, 10 to 4, Agape Pickleball Center in Fountain Valley.
I'll watch the kids. My mom used to have a daycare. I'm in.
That would be great. Like
rolling up the sleeves. And
by the way.
Yeah.
But if that were
Al and Trav are out in the first round. They have to watch the kids.
You read my mind. First 7-10 team out has to tend the daycare. Now, the downside is
that's awesome.
The parents out there listen to these shows. Probably, I'm not letting Sedano and Cap, Trav and Slew, or Mason and Ireland watch my kids. We're not doing that. We'll probably have
How are the goldfish crackers? The damn crackers. That fruit roll-up.
We need a TV and the...
And Barney.
The Wiggles, Barney, and the Backyardigans.
Every kid needs an iPad.
Mary Poppins.
Those are whatever,
for whatever restaurant...
I haven't seen anything
Bluey?
For a long time.
You got some Bluey out there,
I don't know what that is.
For whatever restaurant that I see kids at, everybody needs an iPad.
Can I... Look, I don't flex my parenting ever because every parent ever makes a bunch of mistakes, and we all do. The iPad at the dinner table is like, come on, man.
Oh, no, but it's every dinner
table. I know.
Table.
I'm not saying that it's not common. It's just one of those, really? Just eat faster. A half hour without the iPad, you can get it done. The Dump coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. All right, Emily, you're going to get probably a little tired of me talking about the World Baseball Classic because it starts tomorrow. Cuba and I believe the Netherlands have the first game tomorrow. It's not the World Cup. It's not the Olympics. It's not any of those other like national or not national, international competitions that we typically have. Team USA has a stacked roster. Like they got really good players. They've got the two best catchers in baseball, Real Muto and Will Smith. You've got Mike Trout. You've got Mookie Betts. You've got Trey Turner. Like you've got the best players in your sport competing for the American team. And it's like, yeah, maybe I'll check it out. Maybe I won't. It's a bizarre setup that no one really cares.
The DR
team is amazing. They've got all the best players too. It's really, really competitive.
I hope it's more like an all-star. I'm sorry, it's not like an all-star game, and it's more like, I don't know, like something that they're actually trying to compete for. Because if it's just like an all-star game where people trotting out there and something, that is not watchable. But if it's actually cool,
Reason why it won't be like that is because a lot of these other countries that are a part of it are really prideful in wanting to win for their country. So the best comp is basketball for the Olympics, right? USA basketball. Now, the difference is you have so many different countries in the World Baseball Classic. You got a handful that are really good, right? You have a
handful plus.
Okay,
I'd say there's six or seven really good teams.
It's not really like that when it comes to the Olympics for, you know, USA basketball. Basically, the only storyline is if they don't win the whole thing.
Yeah, and it's kind of Spain, kind of Argentina, but they're not. You'd be surprised if they didn't
win at all. Yeah.
Right.
France now with Wembanyama.
Here, the DR team. You ready for this?
Yeah.
This is the Dominican team. This is the pitching on all these teams is the weak link, right? Nobody's really sending their best pitchers with a couple of exceptions. But the infield for the DR, Willy Adames, Rafael Devers, Wander Franco, Manny Machado, Jeremy Peña.
Jeez.
Those are all-star caliber players in their outfield. Teoscar Hernandez, Julio Rodriguez, Juan Soto, all-star caliber players. The Americans have the – Otani is playing in this thing. Yu Darvish
hit a home run off his knee.
Yu Darvish is pitching for the Japanese team. I really want to care about this, Al. Make me care because I don't.
Okay, so will you not watch anything?
I will watch.
Okay.
No, I will watch, but I just know that the stakes are pretty low.
I just know that,
put it to you this way. Does anybody in this room, I happen to know because I read it earlier today, not because, do you know who won it last time? It's been 6 years since they played it. Anybody know?
Was it Japan?
No.
DR.
No. Taylor, you went
South Korea.
No. USA. that's my point. It's like, oh, okay. Like,
also, do we have a lot of Dutch players playing in the MLB?
Curaçao is part of the Kingdom of the Netherlands, so all the players from Curaçao play for the Dutch team. Yeah. Right?
No, I had no idea.
That's what I mean. No, and by the way, I didn't know that either until I read it, but I'd love to see it. Happy birthday to Shaquille O'Neal, who turns 51 years old today. Shaq and I are the same age, Slee. We look a little different. He seems to be doing a little bit better than I do. Shaq is still – Magic's my all-time favorite Laker.
Yep.
Shaq's a close second. Shaq is just – I just love Shaq. Great player, obviously, goes without saying. But
personality.
He just was fun to have around. And when he'd get going, man, forget it.
Do you ever hear this story? And M has it on here on our notes. You ever heard the story? Shaq on his birthday. It was a Clippers home game. Asked the Clippers, I don't know, his PR department, whatever, hey, it's my birthday, need some extra tickets, I want to invite family. And they said no to him. And John probably tell the story because I think he was doing the game. They say no to him, and Shaq's like, okay, cool. So he goes out, scores 61 points, and gets 23 rebounds against the Clippers on his 28th birthday. Why? Because they wouldn't give him extra tickets to have his family there. There was one play I even remember. This is just kind of a old school, great highlight for the Lakers. Shaq grabs the rebound and starts dribbling down the floor, throws the lob. Kobe gets it, gets an alley-oop. And anyways, one of those games. There was a time... You know, before, remember, there was a time here before, if you take out the last, what is it, 8-9 years of the Clippers were just so incredible. They didn't have any good players.
They were inept.
They were irrelevant. They were the whole thing. But those Laker-Clipper games was 98% Laker fans at Clipper home games.
Yeah.
And this just goes back to that Shaq day on his birthday. Give him his tickets, man. Don't do that.
Okay. I understand we all kind of have that extra gear that you can go to, right? That's just, but... If Shaq could just say, oh, really, and go for 61,
yeah,
maybe we get like 10% of that on a regular basis. Not that he wasn't awesome, but there were nights with Shaq like, Shaq, you going to engage at some point or not?
I wish the Spurs didn't give him tickets for a game on his birthday.
Somebody in the offseason, like during the summer, saying, Shaq, you get no tickets. Get him in the gym and get him in great shape and have him come in just killing people.
He's beating Kobe to the gym.
Right.
Kobe walks in
at 3 a.m. and Shaq's already all sweated up and done with his workout along the way. Derrick Henry, running back for the Tennessee Titans, allegedly on the trade block. Some big names, DeAndre Hopkins, Jalen Ramsey, some others who have been shopped in recent days, according to people who know. Derrick Henry should have a giant flashing sign over his head that says, stay away, stay away, stay away. Great player, beast.
Is it more just because the running back?
It's the position.
Yeah.
He's older.
The second those guys aren't what they were, that's it.
Okay, has it always been like this?
Yes.
Like back in the Priest Holmes, LT, LaDainian Thomas, and like just kind of thinking about.
LT is a little bit different because he lasted much longer than everyone else, but
it's the shelf life.
It's the shelf life, and especially a guy like Derrick Henry, whose entire game is just being big and strong and fast and
running
smashing into people.
Sure.
It takes a toll on guys. How many guys have 10-year runs at that position?
No.
Like five in the history of the league? Walter Payton, LaDainian Tomlinson. That's about it.
Okay, with all that said, do you think. On the trade block, A, do you think he gets traded? B, do you think he gets traded for a lot?
Yes, no. Somebody will take – look, if the price is right, sure. What's the harm? Well, you know, we saw the Rams had a rotating cast of running backs back there. Really, until the very end in Cam Akers, none of them really had much of an impact.
Yeah.
But my the way I'd flip it, and they're not – stylistically, they're very different. This is getting in on the Todd Gurley business after the Rams had traded him. Right, anybody want any part of that? That dude was the best player in football, arguably, for a couple of years, and he was out of the league 3 years later. That's how quick it goes
crazy.
At that position. Robbie Gould, now the Rams don't need a kicker, but somebody might. Robbie Gould out with the 49ers. ESPN's Adam Schefter on Saturday reported that Gould will test free agency and sign elsewhere for the 2023 season. You know what I'm going to say, right? You know who should be having...
Cowboys?
No.
Wasn't the Cowboys, the kicker couldn't hit an extra point?
He couldn't get an extra point, but that's not what I was thinking. That's
Chargers.
Not a bad... Yes.
Good
yes.
as gold.
I know that the guy that they had last year was okay,
yeah.
But what have they had trouble with year after year after year? Kickers that can't make anything.
Yep.
This guy is about as sure now. He's not kicking 60 yarders,
mm-hmm.
but if you run him out there, he's probably going to make it.
This exciting.
Perfect.
How exciting was the extra points for the Cowboys moving forward? That was the most exciting part of the Cowboys season for me. I'm like, I got no idea if the guy's going to hit the extra point or not.
That was bizarre.
I had people texting. He's missed three in a row.
What was this for? Brett Maher.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That was – he missed five in a row.
Six if you counted? Or no, maybe it was five.
Yeah, he missed four in the
game.
One game. He missed the other one. And then the one that he got blocked was going to miss for sure.
That was
a shank.
Nope. Yeah, that one
it was terrific.
Close.
The NBA has rescinded Giannis's 10th rebound from last night, which gave him a triple-double. League rules state that in order for a field goal attempt to count, the player must shoot with the intent to score.
Okay, so let me and this was so not Giannis. I didn't understand what was going on here. So Giannis was a rebound away from getting a triple-double. The game was over. So Giannis had the ball on the other side of the floor, clock's ticking, 5-4, just stood next to the basket and shot, missed on purpose to get his 10th rebound.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, Giannis, what are you doing? It's Giannis. Giannis, don't do that.
That's why it wasn't a big deal, is because it's Giannis. Like, if this were, who's a player that we all kind of look at like, nah, not a fan? James Harden.
Okay.
If it were James Harden that did something like that, I'd be like, Harden's a bum, and he, you know, how embarrassing, bad
that
for the league. Yeah. With Giannis, it's like, yeah, Giannis, come on, man, don't do that.
And we just keep it moving. If LeBron did it, they'd be like, okay, LeBron
would get hammered for doing
it. I love that the NBA rescinded it. I didn't know, actually. I thought he got his triple double. I didn't know that that doesn't count, but he was literally under the basket by himself and went, tink.
What did you make of, you mentioned his name, it made me think of it. What did you make of LeBron's dream that he tweeted about?
Yeah, I saw that. I actually only saw that here. I didn't even see the tweet when it originally came out.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of it.
Emily, I have plenty to make of it. What do you make of it?
I think that it's another evidence of LeBron maybe embellishing on a story. Let's just say that.
It was the most linear dream I've ever heard of in my
yeah,
life.
Exactly.
Like, dreams
a lot of
are
detail.
Bizarre. Yeah, like, but dreams are not, I was playing golf and I missed a two-footer in a match against Jack Nicklaus. It's like,
that
that's
Carolina
linear.
Duke. It's an epic game.
There's that, but there's like Grimace is in the crowd and your mom is there. And there's like a rainstorm in the middle of it. It's just there's a bunch of nonsense. This just sounds like something that he would have liked to experience at some point.
Do you think MJ is dreaming about LeBron too?
I don't think LeBron was dreaming about MJ.
By the way, one thing that you did forget, National Dentist Day. This is your day, bro. This is a very special day for you.
I changed dentists, and so I'm in between cleanings right now.
That's awesome.
The other guy was not meeting my needs, so we had to go switch it up. John, are you – Slee looks at me like I'm crazy because I like going to the dentist.
I like going to my dentist.
Yeah, me too.
My dentist. I have the Laker dentist as my dentist, and he's great. Shout out, Ray Padilla.
But do you look forward to going to – like, you're getting your teeth – but he
no.
actually looks forward to like, hey, I get to go get my teeth cleaned. He
yeah.
likes it.
Yeah. You're out of your mind.
Why? That's nice and clean and fresh. It feels wonderful.
Well, why don't you be like me and be a serial teeth brusher?
I brush
my teeth like 7 times a day.
I'm not 7, but I'm good for 3.
Well, if I'm home,
yeah, I'm about 3.
I'm brushing my teeth. Yeah. So
I'm not like Michael.
Michael will floss during games.
I believe you.
Yeah.
But, I believe you.
Overtime.
Yeah. I'm not in lieu of brushing. I just like to come out of there and.
All right, so have you heard,
whistle clean.
This may interest you, I was just telling my wife about this. I saw an ad for a new toothbrush that basically flosses while you're brushing, shoots water through your
wow.
teeth while you're
like
brushing.
Like a Waterpik toothbrush.
Yeah, it's made by Waterpik. Like,
hybrid.
Google it. Yeah, and you can buy it.
Do you know the manufacturer suggested retail price? Because I'm curious.
But, I mean, it'd be something that, how often do you buy? Like, I have an electric toothbrush now. I have no idea how long I've had that thing.
I like to go old school.
It looks like at 160 right now. I just
that's not
it
too
at
bad.
Best Buy,
I mean,
so,
it's not nothing. But
yeah,
that's,
but, I mean, it'll last you 10 years. It just changed the bristle head.
I'll have a standing order every 2 weeks.
You're old
one
school.
Comes in.
I'm old school too.
I am.
Wait, you don't use an electric toothbrush?
I do. I have a Quip that I use occasionally, but I like to. I don't know. I like a little more vigor when I get in there. The vibrations aren't giving me what I need. Let's do a little super crosstalk. Woo 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 woo. I feel like somebody needs to do that in Mason's absence.
Well, Mason's probably doing it wherever he is right now.
Do we know where he went?
He says he went to New Mexico.
Oh.
But he claims he is completely disconnected, which we know is a lie.
That's
because he's been claiming this for years. And one day, Ramona's on her way in here, and Ramona said, I go, hey, Mason's disconnected, so I can't get a hold of him. She goes, I made a fantasy baseball trade with him 45 minutes ago. Mason has no self-control.
Al's pretty good at this. When you go away, you go away. You kind of unplug from the whole deal. I'm not super plugged in when I'm out. What are you? When you're gone, guy?
No, I'm always connected.
But you're not big in posting or social, all that stuff.
No.
Like, you're not doing that a lot. I think that's to me is the definition of whether you're plugged in or not. Are you checking social all the time? I won't do that when I'm gone.
But you're not even like, I mean, maybe you are. Are you texting friends and stuff, like keeping up with your group text threads and all that? Because when I'm on vacation, I kind of check out on all that stuff.
Yeah, I definitely separate. I separate from it.
Are you texting your neighbors, John? I know you like to keep in touch with that group, too.
I do like my neighbors very much, but no, when I'm on vacation, I only want to hear from them if someone is taking my TV out of my house.
That'd be a crappy text to get. Hey,
well, last
some guy
year,
in a ski mask supposed to be in
last
your
year, there were like torrential rains, and a bunch of my neighbors were out of town, and it was during COVID, and like three houses on our street flooded.
Oh boy!
So all the people that were out of town, we were like breaking into their house and fixing it. But we got it all. Everybody made it out unscathed.
Does everybody know on your street where everybody keeps the hidden key? Because everybody's got the hidden key. It's in the backyard. It's under the palm tree or whatever. Does everybody got one of those?
No, because I live in a guard gated area, and most of the time you can just walk in.
You just walk
in the
door.
Locking the door.
Attention, criminals.
If people are home, they'll leave their doors unlocked. But if they're gone, they'll lock them up.
Yeah, I'm going to lock that thing. I'm going to make sure.
You don't trust. Well, you don't even know your neighbors.
Well, no, I trust everybody. Trust that's
neighbors.
My problem.
He doesn't even want to talk to his neighbors.
I don't trust human beings.
Yeah.
Like, it's just one of those things that, that guy didn't look like he locked his door. Let's go see what kind of stuff he's got.
I'm not great at that.
What's going on with John Morant?
Okay, so I heard you guys talking. Momo just walked in. I want her to get in here before I start talking about this because she knows some stuff, too. I think you guys are severely, both of you, severely underestimating how long Ja Morant is going to be out.
You think so?
I do. You like Slee, you said you can't imagine him being out for more than a week.
I said that.
Okay. I'm curious what Ramona thinks, but I think this is being treated with a level of seriousness that could have Ja Morant out for the rest of the year.
Okay. Do you
so
really?
So did you see, you just read my latest story, right?
Read him a couple of minutes ago.
No, but what do you know?
So... Here's the wow. couple of this is where things
guys he could be in jail.
Yeah, okay.
I mean he could have broken gun laws. I mean if you I was laughing because I heard you saying maybe you'll be right and I'll have to eat this.
Yeah,
but you were saying he won't miss the Dallas games. They have back to backs against Dallas.
Guys, I said that.
Yeah,
yeah, he's not even here.
Yeah,
he's not even in LA.
Okay, mm-hmm. so let's table set with just the news. Okay, so in Colorado, so Liz Merrill and I were just reporting on this. We called the police out in Colorado, which
because Denver is where he flashed the gun, right?
Okay, so this was important. All right, the game was Friday night,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of times teams will fly after a game to LA. So when I first saw the video Saturday morning, I said, oh, man, if they're in L.A., that's a big problem, right? Because obviously in L.A.
Yeah, we're not an open carry state.
We're not an open carry state.
Yeah.
Now, what we confirmed was that it was in Colorado. They stayed over. They did not fly into L.A. until Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Glendale Police Department, which is also Glendale, Colorado, not Glendale here, confirmed that they're investigating the incident. Now, this is also very important because it speaks to whether or not it's likely that he would be charged. I think it's going to be difficult to charge him. Because even though Colorado is an open carry state, in other words, open carry means you can have a gun. You don't mm-hmm. need all the permits and all that stuff. Because it's an open carry state, however, it is illegal to have a firearm if you are intoxicated.
Right. Mm-hmm. How do you prove that?
Exactly. Okay. How do you prove that? Now, in the video, you can make your own assumptions. Like, he's not seen drinking, but there are people in the yep. video that are seen drinking. Okay?
5 a.m.
But,
in the morning.
There was no field sobriety test. Nobody called the cops from the bar.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll be, this is my opinion, okay? I think it's going to be difficult to charge him with anything because there was no field sobriety test done. Because, you know, he would have to incriminate himself and say, A, that was a gun. B, was it his gun? Now, where this gets interesting, John, and this is, I think, the real story. Okay, if it's confirmed that was a real gun, which, you know, people have to confirm that's step A in an investigation.
I mean, it is illegal. As opposed to like a toy you're talking about?
Yeah. But when he came out and apologized, wouldn't he have said something if that wasn't a real gun?
Oh, I wouldn't incriminate myself. That statement was carefully worded.
Right, but mm-hmm. I don't think he wrote it. But
either way, okay.
But what I think what I interpreted that statement was him admitting he was at fault.
Yeah, he's saying, I'm sorry for all of it. Okay, mm-hmm. So it was a very blanket general, I thought,
I'm
fairly
sorry
heartfelt
for creating
apology.
A ruckus, basically.
Yeah, but you know, this is where it gets interesting. NBA rules, and we're going to go back to Gilbert Arenas in 2010.
Yeah, I was trying to remember what happened with him.
Gilbert brought unloaded weapons to the Wizards locker room.
Right.
And mm-hmm. in the collective bargaining agreement, it says very plainly, NBA players are prohibited from bringing firearms or any other deadly weapons to an NBA facility, or while traveling on team business.
Business, yep.
Okay. Well, that's why, Slee, I think you're a little bit naive here on, man, maybe I'm the naive one, but I actually think about it. He had a gun.
Yep.
And so was that gun in the hotel?
Was it on the team plane?
Was it on the bus?
Mm-hmm.
Was it in the locker room? If any of that is determined to be true, they just had a shooting incident in Memphis.
Yeah.
That they're still trying to get over. I mean, I thought Taylor Jenkins last night. Did you stay for the second game?
I did it.
Okay. Yeah. So I thought Taylor Jenkins was talking like a guy that Ja's not coming back anytime
yeah,
soon.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm.
I, Trav, to couch it in the terms you were talking about it, I would be shocked if he played neither one of those Dallas games.
The fact that
it seems like the, and maybe the league is operating in the background, perhaps that's what's going on, but that the team is the one that's administering this, whatever you want to call it, suspension or time away.
No, they didn't.
But they're talking to the NBA.
Right.
No, this is an NBA decision now. I'm just telling you, I'm reporting on the story. This is with Adam Silver. And this, the big question is Adam Silver going to punish him as severely as, let's say, David Stern?
Probably not, because he's a players commissioner, but I also don't think it's a week.
So this is the one thing I told Trav. I said, I don't know how involved the NBA is going to be in this, and that's kind of the overlying question. Listen, the Memphis Grizzlies can sit here and say, put out that statement, and you know what, John Morant, learn from your mistakes and take some time away from the team, and hopefully you come back and you learn from your mistakes, and let's go make a run in the Western Conference. But it might not have nothing to do with the Memphis Grizzlies. That's
it's
the one thing
I'd
mention.
It's not up to them anymore.
Yeah,
and by the way,
the GM of the Grizzlies is a guy named Zach Kleiman, who used to work for the Lakers. Mm-hmm. He is a great guy. He is also a lawyer. He is also a lawyer who worked in the NBA offices.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he knows Adam Silver. He knows everybody that's involved in this. And he is a super level-headed, not going to knee-jerk guy. And he's not putting Ja back out there until this thing is buttoned up. I guarantee it.
Is it part of the... Because I said this to Slee. The language that was used in describing what was going on, I thought was particularly interesting. And it was, we want to get him the help that he needs. We want to make sure that he's okay. It wasn't he committed a crime that needs to be punished. It wasn't you broke this rule, therefore this is your suspension. Well, it was more like he's going through. I'm trying to find the right words myself.
Well, think about it.
He's going through something. We want to help him get through this and at the same time figure out why he's getting in fights with 17-year-olds, why he's brandishing a gun in a club, why he's, you know, doing all of these things right as he's about to become arguably the face of the league. He's got the Nike shoe. He's got the Powerade deal. Like, he's right on the edge of becoming one of the guys in the league if he isn't already.
Trav, he's already there.
He's like literally everyone you talk to, he's their favorite young player.
But this wasn't, we want to discipline him for doing something dumb.
No, they're worried about this guy becoming Allen Iverson.
Right.
Is what they're worried about.
Well, and here's the big question. I think he's everyone's favorite young player. Like,
Michael Thompson, who obviously played in the league and has been around forever, says Ja is the most athletic guard in the history of the NBA.
And he's super, like, he's likable.
Super popular.
He's got a fun personality as well. It is not in the NBA's interest to discipline him here. I mean, it hurts their brand.
Sure.
It hurts his brand.
So maybe Slee, that's a feather
that's
in your
the
cap.
Best thing that, he's
maybe
got
they,
going for
maybe they do bring him back in 4 days to sweep this thing under the rug a little bit, but I don't think they're gonna. I think it's serious enough where they're going to get lawyers involved.
But what if the Colorado law enforcement, whatever jurisdiction this is under, comes back and says, listen, there's really nothing we can't prove. We don't have a case to move forward
on. By the way, I think that's almost likely.
I think it's very likely, too. And then the NBA at that point, or the Grizzlies, or if you're telling me it's the NBA, fine, saying, look, he didn't commit a crime. It's a bad look. We've talked to him. We've sat him down for a couple of games. He's going to play. That feels like
they didn't sit him down,
outcome.
By the way.
The Memphis
He's
did.
The one who stepped away.
Okay.
If you read that statement very carefully, he has decided to step away to seek help, okay?
And help for what?
He says stress.
Well, Trav, think about it.
Now,
wait, like, help for what?
It's not a judgment.
No, no, no.
But
here's what I'm pointing at it. I obviously, for 20 years, have traveled with an NBA team. If I brandished a weapon in any way, shape, or form, not only am I fired, I'm probably in jail. Mm-hmm. Now, Ja, I'm not going to compare myself to Ja because Ja's an elite $200 million player, but the idea of, and this comes from somebody that travels with a team, the idea of one of the players having a gun in his possession, particularly if it's loaded, scares the living hell out of me. And it's not just because I think the guy would be irresponsible. Maybe Ja is a completely responsible gun owner. I don't know. But the gun getting into the hotel, getting into his suitcase, however he transported it, that suitcase... Trust me, I know because I travel with these guys, gets touched by 10, 15 yep. different people on the way to getting under the bus into the luggage truck. It could very easily end up in a locker room. There's a player named Sebastian Telfair. Sure. You guys remember him?
Yeah.
So one time, he was playing for the Blazers. He played for a bunch of teams. He's playing for the Blazers, and he liked to have his pillow that it helped him sleep, so he would bring a pillow with him on the road. And when he was home one day, he stuck a gun in his pillowcase, and he gets on the plane, and he puts his head on the pillow, and he realizes, oh, crap, I have a loaded gun on the plane in my pillowcase. And he called everybody as security officer. He called him over, and he said, hey, I don't want to freak you out. This was an absolute oversight by me, but I have a gun, and I want to give it to the pilot. Wow. I want to do the right thing.
Wow.
And they did, and they disciplined him for it. But that was an accident. Hmm. If somebody is carrying a weapon, even if he's got a permit, it is so dangerous in the world that we travel in and live in that I think the NBA is going to treat it as such. Now, to Ramona's point, if they don't want to embarrass Ja, the Grizzlies are a great young team, maybe they do suspend him for two more games and bring him back. I don't know, but I can tell you that
the level of seriousness with which this is going to be treated
is going to be high. I think you think he's coming back in a week.
I do.
Yeah,
I
maybe do, you're right.
Because it's in the league's, they want their best young players playing. They want them in
but
the
they
court.
Also they don't want these storylines around. But
for all intents and purposes, as far as I know, this is his first offense, right?
No.
What do you
mean?
Did
you read the Washington Post story?
Which, about beating up the kid?
No, there's three incidents.
Okay,
but you highlighted all those.
My point is, this is the first time he's bubbled up as, air quotes, a problem, right?
Mm.
We bring him in. We say, enough of this. He says, it'll never happen again. There's no laws that have been broken. He's not being prosecuted anywhere else. And we want him back on the court so we can start talking about Ja, what you said, best young player, most athletic guard ever. Let's start that, because the longer he's gone, the longer we're talking about guns and breaking the law.
Right, but here's what I think you're overlooking. If you read the Washington Post story, among the things, there's supposed allegedly he beat up the 17-year-old. His agent has come out and said none of these things
Pacers
are true.
Thing.
The Pacers thing where they put a
laser
gun sight. Laser sight on somebody.
Team bus or something,
Momo, he had one of his friends was banned for a year.
That's from, in regard to the Pacers thing.
Yeah.
So the Pacers thing was the Pacers team bus is outside after a game.
Mm-hmm.
And the story I heard was that Ja was in the passenger seat of this vehicle where from that vehicle, a red laser was shined onto the chest of some of the Pacers players and team associates.
I mean,
traveling party.
Come on. You can't be messing around with
like a red laser. Now,
of course not, John.
I have heard it from both sides.
Is anybody sure it's a gun? It wasn't a laser.
Just think about what you and I use for a putter.
Think about that association with this one guy over this small period of time.
They never miss on the side of over-disciplining, ever.
They always miss on the short side.
How many incidents have you been involved in the last year? How many times have you been involved? Right.
Zero.
Right. How many incidents has Ja Morant been involved in the past year?
Well, at least three and probably four.
I'm not Ja Morant.
I know. What I'm saying is it speaks to a pattern of behavior
of
on and off the court that is dangerous. It's like to John's point, having what appears to be a weapon on you while you're traveling.
I agree with all of what you're saying. And if this were not somebody that was integral to the success and thriving of a business, and if... when I can make something go away and I can at least make a passing attempt that I gave it some thought, that's typically where people land. They don't land on the heavy-handed side.
We're going to find out pretty quick. He's not going to play tomorrow, and they'll probably say something on Wednesday.
Fair enough. More of that coming up on Mason and Allen. Momo's in for May. Super Crosstalks powered by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger's all about. We'll see you tomorrow.